Because in Buddhist culture, Buddhist traditions, I mean, they talk about the last mind moment, and as if that if your last mind moment is scattered or is not completely focused, then you're reborn, your possibility of rebirth in a not a very good realm. Like there's a commentary or story of a monk who was as he was dying, he thought of his new robe and got reborn as a
It was his patched robe. He was He's very attached to his old
His
patched
old
robe.
patched robe.
Yes, he was attached to his patches.
Even worse.
Yeah, so I took note of that.
Ah, right.
If I can get attached to my patches.
Yeah, yes. Just take a look at just about anything you've got. So having that thought, thinking of his old robe, then he got reborn as, some kind of louse or something.
There was some flies' eggs that were in the border of the
In the
robe, and
border of the
he
robe,
got reborn into the eggs of the fly.
so that not a good rebirth. But say this, and that's a commentarial story, and it's pretty much goes across, I think, all Buddhist cultures. So the Theravada, Mahayana, Vajrayana, this sense of you've really got to spend all your time focusing on your last mind moment, because that's the critical one, which is somewhat true, but your last mind moment is conditioned by all of the ones that are leading up to it. So that this association with superior persons, the cultivation of the where that association and be fortified over a long time with faith that draws one to the to good people, good training, good teachings, that virtue, learning, generosity, wisdom, Saddha, Virya, Sutta, Chaka, Panya. Those are all this culmination of qualities are what are really the that take one on, and then that's what the mind reverts to at death. And so that even if there's as in the sutta, Mahanama's worrying about, what happens if I die, and I'm in the middle of Kapilavatthu and some elephant comes along or some chariot runs me over, I'm not really at my peak of mindfulness. What's going to happen? And the Buddha, don't dwell in fear of that. Really pay attention to the recollecting of all of the goodness that you've been associated with. It's really, really important.
Yeah, I've quoted that teaching also countless times, and because there is that, as you said, there's that mythology of the last mind moment. Also within the Christian church, getting final absolution from the priest.
Oh, yeah, that's
So
right, yeah.
get the priest
Just
your bed
wave
fly
that
over, and
magic wand of absolution,
then
you're
clear
done.
out all your bad karma at the
Yeah.
last minute. So I've quoted that many, many times, and I feel it's a very important principle. Also, I think there's that story of Lumbo Cha and Woropano, where the some villagers came into Wat Wa Phong and said, "Oh, the layman is about to pass away. Can you come to his bedside, give him some guidance, and help teach him some meditation?" And Lumbo Cha just said, "Nah, just when he's gone, just come and let me know, and we'll go and do the chanting." And then Woropano was quite, I mean, I wasn't there, maybe you were
Well,
there,
no, I wasn't. Well, no.
but Woropano was quite the sort of indignant, forthright American, saying, "Lumpur, how dare you? That's really uncompassionate. go to that person's bedside and you could have helped them. And according to the story, sort of legend of in our community, Lumpur Cha picked up his walking stick and he put it in the middle of Warapanya's chest and then pushed him over and then leant down. So it was compressing Warapanya's chest, leaning on it, and say, okay, now, Buddha. And Warapanya is kind of gasping for breath. Come on, Buddha. And say, oh, maybe you'd like a candy. You like a candy? You like candy, don't you, Warapanya? Yeah, here's a candy. He's gasping for breath. And Lumpur's kind of still leaning on him. Say, what's up, you know? Come on, you know, you're supposed to be a disciple. Yeah, and I'm even offering you some candy and you're not interested. And so, and then after he took the walking stick away, he said, you know, old whatever the layman's name was, old Som, or yeah, he's been a ne'er-do-well for the last 40 years. He's always drunk and fooling around and lived a pretty heedless life. If I go to his bedside and start trying to teach him the Buddha meditation, he's just going to be more distressed and confused. And just let him be surrounded by his friends and the family and things that he knows. And rather than kind of bringing that kind of extra piece in at the last minute. I don't think Warapanya was particularly convinced, but the story has come down.
He was definitely impacted.
Pun intended. So for Lumpur Cha, it was very, very clear that, well, you know, if you've lived a really heedless life and you've been as kind of indulgent and reckless and but foolish, just having the Ajahn come to your bedside at the last minute, it's not going to make a big difference. And so that I feel is a very, very important teacher, because people say, well, what if I'm in a coma? What if I'm in a car crash? Or what if? And that's yeah. Such good advice. Well, it's what you've done for the previous 40 years is what matters, not the precise detail of how painful or how conscious you might be at the last moment.